Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Friday, November 9th, 2012. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a good weekend. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun. I'm in today for Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. The show is live Monday through Friday from noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Intelligent Voice. We're streaming the show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The program is also posted for your anytime listening at buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. There are also links to the show at gvnews.com, the homepage for the Green Valley News, and there's a link to the show at blogforarizona.com. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. We have two guests with us for the Friday Focus interview today. Bill Carnegie is CEO and President of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, and Laura Romero is Executive Director of St. Andrew's Children's Clinic in Nogales, Arizona. Welcome to you both.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Bill, I'm going to start with you. We at the Green Valley News do a lot of work with Mary Jane Goodrick in Green Valley and Sahuarita and Mildred Lopez Feliciano in Amado. They head up the food banks there. They do an awesome job, but the Community Food Bank really reaches farther than that. Tell us a little bit about it.
We also have a branch facility up in Marana, one down in Nogales. We just turned one in the city of Tombstone over to the city, and actually we're looking at constructing a facility in Wilcox, but we serve all of Pima, Santa Cruz, Cochise, Graham, and Greenlee counties.
Awfully busy. Especially the last few years, we were talking off the air that it's been a rough time, the economic downturn. And I guess maybe we're guilty with other media and focusing on the food bank's needs, sometimes only around the holidays, but the need really is year-round.
Right, and actually most people think about it as a kind of a seasonal place to give.
Because, right.
You know, there's certainly more emphasis around the holidays, but the truth is we're helping about 230,000 people a month, every month of the year. So it's and it's gone up significantly. 5 years ago, we were assisting just under 100,000 a month. So really the economy is driving our business.
Right. And what about the economic downturn? How has your organization fared? And then what are you seeing? Are families hanging in there?
Well, unfortunately, we're still seeing increases every month in the numbers of people seeking assistance. You know, certainly some fall off, some are still there. Every day when I go to work, there's probably between 200 and 400 people in line, and people of every possible age group. You see seniors, you see infants, families, unemployed, underemployed. There's just so many people right now that are in need. The number, as I said, is not declining. And what we really need is jobs to put people back to work and help our economy grow.
Definitely. And are you seeing a different type of person these days come through than maybe 4 or 5 years ago?
Well, and really, it's a lot of people from the trades, a lot of car salesmen, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's just it's really across the board. There's just a lot of people struggling, and you know, I don't really see an end in sight until the economy really does start to turn around.
And how are you involving other service agencies with the food bank? If I go to the food bank, I know what I'm going to get.
Right.
What if I need a different type of help?
Well, if someone has special needs for food, we'll try and find the food that they need. But we also have the Giffords Family Assistance Center there, where we'll help people sign up for their SNAP benefits, which is the old food stamp program, and also inform them what other services are available. And then in our building, we've got other nonprofits located there, such as the Lions Vision Clinic, so people can go in and get glasses and eye exams on a reduced fee. Also, Southern Arizona Legal Aid is there if people have problems that some lawyers might be able to help them with. And we're partnered with about 300 other nonprofits in Southern Arizona, so we can if people can't get to Tucson, we can get them some assistance right in the neighborhood where they live.
And then a little bit more specifically, how are you guys doing as far as fundraising goes? Where exactly do you get your money? And how, overall, give us a sense.
Okay, well, about 20% of our funding comes from governmental agencies, whether that be local, state, or federal. The bulk of it comes from individuals just sending in a monthly check. Donations have, they continue to go up. I think that we do a really good job of letting people know what we need. And, you know, the Southern Arizona community is, they are just such giving people. I mean, you know, if we tell them that we have a need, they respond to that. And they've really kept pace. You know, we haven't really grown a lot over the last few years, but the giving has kept up with the increase in the number of people coming looking for assistance.
That's encouraging.
I feel very fortunate that we're in the position that we're in.
That's encouraging. Okay, you ready for a quirky question?
Sure.
How come the food bank always asks for peanut butter?
Well, we put peanut butter jars in everything that we distribute. It's a high protein item. It's also something that when a child comes home from school, you know, if there's no one in that home, they can slap some peanut butter on a piece of bread and get something to eat. It's kind of a universal food. There's some people that some nutritionists think it's not such a great food because of the high fat content. But for us, it, you know, it is nutritional and it's easy to use.
Okay. Did you hear what Desert Hills Lutheran Church in Green Valley did recently?
I didn't.
They did a little, I guess it was a toilet paper drive. The goal was 2,000 rolls, because this is something that the food bank cannot spend their money on. Is that accurate? Because it's not food stuff, or they don't get too many donations of it?
Well, that's not true. Well, if you think, you know, we distribute about 30,000 food boxes a month, and
right,
we'd want to give people more than one roll of toilet paper. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when it comes to paper products, personal care items, those are things people cannot use their SNAP benefits for. So
that's right.
You know, and a lot of those things are pretty expensive. So I applaud them for doing a toilet paper drive. And, you know, anybody that wants to step up and do something like that, or toothpaste, shampoo, bar soap, those are all really needed items. And, you know, we can distribute them, but we don't spend our money on those things.
Well, I'll tell you, we're a community newspaper. Therefore, it made page one, because their goal was 2,000 rolls, and they were well on their way to 3,000, actually. And it's good for us and the community to be challenged in different ways, and maybe somebody can only help in that small way, but altogether it made a huge impact in our area.
That's absolutely incredible. What a great out-of-the-box idea.
Yeah, and let me give Mary Jane Goodrick a plug here down in Green Valley in Sahuarita. She's all over the place. She knows when to ask, she knows how to ask, and she's real passionate about her job. She's a terrific asset to our community.
Oh, and I absolutely know that. Mary Jane has just been, you know, a stellar performer down there. She's really engaged the community and really stepped things up in that area.
We're going to turn our attention here to Laura Romero. She is with St. Andrew's Children's Clinic, and I spent some time there at one of the clinics a few months ago. And Laura, I have to tell you, it was one of the most moving experiences of my career. It was absolutely awesome what you folks are doing down there. You do some amazing work. Tell us a little bit about St. Andrew's Children's Clinic.
Well, St. Andrew's Children's Clinic is a nonprofit clinic which provides free specialized medical care to children living in Mexico. It's a clinic that was founded in 1973, so we're proud to say we're going on our 40th anniversary next year.
Wow, terrific. And so these are children and their families. They're living in Mexico. They're brought over the border once a month. For what, and when, where are they taken?
This is a clinic that's once a month except the month of July. It's the first Thursday of the month. And they come to the border in Nogales, Sonora, and they cross over to Nogales, Arizona. There are special humanitarian passes that are made by U.S. Customs. If it weren't for the U.S. Customs, this would not be possible. And it's a one-day pass. They come and see. We gather up at a church in Nogales, Arizona, St. Andrew's Episcopal Church, for a day, where over 100, maybe 60 to 100 volunteers,
right,
are gathered there, doctors, nurses, translators, and they see, every child is seen, and it's 200 to 250 children a day.
And these are children, some of them have incredible needs that simply cannot be met in their country. Is that accurate?
That is very correct. The money is not there provided in Mexico for these needs. We have children with cerebral palsy. We have children with cleft palate lips. Mm-hmm. We have a big need, and these parents don't have the money. It's either they eat or it's provide for, you know, their child in need. And it's just a very hard choice for them. And we're happy to be able to at least give a little bit of hope in their family.
And some of the worst cases are actually sent off to other hospitals in the United States.
That's correct. We partnered with Shriners in Spokane and Sacramento. And we actually just pay for the airfare to fly them to the hospitals. And then Shriners takes care of surgeries for these children.
Okay, and I want to make it clear, these are kids who in their own country would pretty much be uncared for.
Correct. There is no way they can get any medical assistance.
Okay, and then briefly before the break then, give me a sense of how this started 40 years ago. Whose idea?
It was actually a mother who has a child that she just started knocking on people's doors trying to find help. And then, you know, it was through people. And then finally a physical therapist got involved. And she said that, you know what, if you gather 3-4 more children like your son, we will definitely start, you know, doing something. That was 40 years ago. That started with 7 children.
Incredible. So,
yes.
Incredible. And so she was on the Mexico side.
She was in Nogales, Sonora, correct.
Okay. And if I'm recalling correctly, the whole idea of the clinic and everything started in Mexico and then eventually came over the border.
Yes, it came over the border just because doctors in Mexico felt that, you know, work was taking away from them with American doctors.
Okay.
So that's why we transferred to Nogales, Arizona.
Okay, very good. We are going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll be talking some more to Laura Romero and to Bill Carnegie and seeing exactly what the needs are and how we can help out. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has 2 locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Good afternoon. My name is Dan Scheer, and we are back with Laura Romero of St. Andrews Children's Clinic and Bill Carnegie, CEO and President of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. And you are listening to The Buckmaster Show. Bill will be back on Monday. He's letting me sit in here for the day. Laura, I want to get back to some of these kids who you guys are helping down at this clinic, which again, tremendous work. When I was down there, I'm seeing kids who are having their eyes looked at, their legs, their ears, everything. Give us a sense of what goes on there. And again, we were talking a little bit off the air. We're not talking well baby care here, and it's from birth to age 18, but we're talking kids with majorly big problems.
Correct. We're seeing, people in audiology, cardiology, dermatology, nutrition, occupational therapy, orthotics, orthopedics. I mean, it just goes on and on. The list just goes on. But it's, again, specific needs to these children.
What type of help do you need? You say you have 60 to 100 volunteers each clinic day?
Correct.
Okay. What do you need?
Really?
Yeah.
Monetary assistance. That's really what it boils down to. And I'm proud to say that 97% of your donation goes straight to patient services.
That's huge number.
It's a big number, so I really rely on my volunteers so we can keep that number.
And you're telling me you have, what, 3 paid staff?
3 paid staff, that's it.
And where's your office?
We're located in Green Valley, Arizona.
Okay.
And our day of the clinic is in Nogales, Arizona.
Okay. And then what is the best way to get a hold of you?
Through our website.
Okay, what's that?
And that is www.standrewsclinic.com.
Okay, standrewsclinic.org. Bill, donor fatigue, define the term and tell us how you've been hit or not.
Well, I'll give you a little history with me first. Over the last few years, because of the economy, I really thought that the Community Food Bank was going to be one of those organizations that suffered from donor fatigue. That's really when, the donors that are out there start to really get stressed, where they don't have enough money to or as much money as they had before to donate, or they're holding a little bit tighter because of nervousness about the economy. But the end result is that the nonprofits tend to get less because donors feel like they've done everything they can and want to hold on to what they have. Fortunately, the Community Food Bank hasn't really seen that, or if we I'm sure that there's some donors that have experienced that, but we keep getting new donors every month. So the funds keep coming in. The community support is really strong. And I'm not saying that we don't need support now, because we're helping more people than what we ever have. But it's not something that we've really experienced. Our donations continue to rise along with the number of people that we're serving.
But really, there are more organizations out there asking for what amounts to fewer dollars.
Right. And nationally, there's 1.5 million nonprofits. So, and we have, I think it's 1,500 here in Southern Arizona. So that it's a competitive market out there.
And it's interesting that Laura brought up, we need money. She didn't put it like that. But it's true. And I know there's somewhat of a reluctance to say that. But the fact is, you can do more with a dollar than I can.
Right. And the Community Food Bank's pretty efficient. We can distribute almost $9 worth of food for every dollar donated.
Right.
And, we're much the same as Laura's organization, where a little bit more than 97 cents of every dollar donated goes in directly to programs.
Yeah, that's, again, a huge number, and it's important. And the cans of food, the boxes of food are important, but frankly, the money can go a lot farther. probably at both of these organizations.
It does help, but we don't ever discourage people from donating a can or taking their family to the store to donate food items that are going to go directly on the table of someone in need in this community.
Right, absolutely. Laura, I asked you a question when I was down there earlier this year that, frankly, the answer didn't matter much to me, but I knew that people would be wondering about it, so I asked. All of your clients are living in Mexico. What is the reaction when you are talking to an American audience?
One of the questions that I get is, why not hear children living in the United States? Children in the United States have a better opportunity to get medical care. I know that, at the end of the day, when I look at a child and they need some medical assistance, to me, a child doesn't have borders. So if we are able to help, we just go ahead and do it. It's very important that people understand that, there is a big need in Mexico and they have no help at all.
Right. Any sense over the 40 years you've been around, how many children you've managed to help?
Oh, roughly.
Tough one, huh?
Tough one. That's a tough one. But it ranges to a big number. I could say maybe
tens of thousands, I would guess.
It goes into the thousands.
Oh, absolutely.
It goes into the thousands. I'll give you a number, 7,000, because really it's been over, it's going to be 40 years.
Wow.
And we've seen very big cases and that have positive outcomes.
If I do not have any medical training whatsoever, you do not want me near a needle or a cotton swab or anything, can I help out? Could you use me?
I could definitely use, again, I use my volunteers.
Okay.
So yes, please contact us.
And there's lots of them. Down there. Bill, what do you got coming up? You're talking about some events.
Dan, I'm glad you asked. Next Thursday here in Tucson, we have our annual, it's actually the 8th annual Thanksgiving on the Mayflower event. It's going to take place at the Sprouts store near First and Limberlost. We're going to be out there from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m. and FM is going to be out there broadcasting, and TEP is actually matching the donations that come in that day. So a great way to get a financial contribution matched, and they're also, we're going to be accepting canned goods, turkeys, anything you want to bring out there. Just a great event that lasts all day.
Okay, let's push into next year. What's going on in January?
Well, actually, the end of January is our annual Mardi Gras event. This year it's going to be out at Casino del Sol. Going to be a great event. Tickets are $125 a person, so that's a little steep for a lot of people, but it's a great party. This year we expect about 500 people, got some great bands, and it's a time to open up your closet and look for that outfit that really describes who you are. So I always tell people to come as they really are.
Sounds scary. Yeah, sounds scary, especially in Tucson. We got a lot of different people here,
right.
I tell you. Laura, a little bit on that donor fatigue question to you also, because I know that in my mailbox are a lot more requests from organizations that I have never had contact with, never given money to, but they are casting the net. How have donations been with you guys? You've been hanging in there.
Actually, it's individual donations that's kept us up.
Okay.
So I'm very grateful to our donors. We have not seen that donor fatigue. People have been very nice in helping us continue with our mission.
Very good. How are you funded exactly?
Individual donations, maybe 20% grants.
Okay.
But other than that, that's and fundraising events throughout the year.
Give the website one more time for people.
www.standrewsclinic.org.
Okay, and you do, like I said, awesome work, and I'm assuming you'd welcome people to head on down to check it out if they wanted to?
Correct. I always encourage to call our office and sign up for a tour.
Good.
It's an experience.
It is, and I got to tell you, one thing that really struck me was the number of times I was pushed aside, because it's nice to have the media there, but the kids are most important.
That's our priority. It's the child. I mean, it's nice to have visitors, but the child is first.
Well, I felt that, and I was encouraged by it, frankly. So,
Bill,
15 seconds to tell us what's important to the food bank.
Certainly, contributions of time, money, or food. I just want to direct people to our website, communityfoodbank.org, to find out how you can help.
Okay, very good. We've been talking to Bill Carnegie of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, Laura Romero with St. Andrew's Children's Clinic. The work you guys do is so important, and I thank you for it, and I want to thank you for being with us. Just a reminder that the Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, and we'll be right back with our Friday Roundtable featuring local journalist Jimmy Bogle of the Tucson Weekly and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama says it was a central question during the election, the question of whether the wealthiest Americans should have to pay more in taxes. Mr. Obama says a majority of Americans agreed with him, so he says he's not going to accept any approach to deficit cutting that doesn't ask the wealthy to pay more. Meanwhile, House Speaker John Boehner says there will have to be lower tax rates as well as an elimination of special interest loopholes, and he says there must be cuts in benefits programs. Defense Secretary Panetta tells Congress the military had no armed aircraft near Libya that could have helped to defend against the September attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 28 points, the Nasdaq ahead 20. More details at srnnews.com.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News, in today for Bill Buckmaster. Bill will be back in the saddle on Monday. It's time for our Friday Roundtable featuring local journalists sounding off on the week's top stories. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable are Jimmy Bogle, editor of the Tucson Weekly, and Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. If you have a comment or question, the Buckmaster Show live line is open for you at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care community for adults 55 and better. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Okay, guys, slow news week?
Yeah, I mean, somebody better call in because we really got nothing
not much to talk about. You know, Jimmy, we were talking off the air. You started your column this week saying something along the lines of, I hope the election is over by the time you're reading this, and it's not.
No, I added in a parenthetical, at least I hope so.
Yes, you called it,
actually.
Oh,
man, so. the roundtable next week, people are still going to be talking about it because I don't think it'll be over then yet either.
Well, I agree. I talked to Brad Nelson, the elections director today, and they could be going, he told me, till the 19th, actually. Mm-hmm. And so that's any surprises Tuesday?
I was surprised that McSally Barber was as close as it was. You know, a lot of people were expecting CD1 to be close, and it was, although some organizations have called it for against Jonathan Payton for Ann Kirkpatrick. But not a lot of people saw this McSally Barber thing being as close as it is. And as of now, I believe, I haven't checked it in the last hour or so, Martha McSally is ahead by 81 votes.
Right.
But there's a heck of a lot of votes left to count from Pima County, and Ron Barber did well. If I were a betting man, I think Ron Barber's going to eke this out, but man, it's close. And the fact that we're not going to know for at least a week and a half is kind of frightening.
And I think the election department is going to post new numbers at 6 o'clock each day, I believe is what they've said. So we will see what those numbers are. Dylan, surprised by that race?
I'm very surprised it was this close. I mean, you don't see close races that are this close all that often. You know, you call a close race something like, you know, 5,000 or 7,000 votes,
right.
not at this point 81.
Right.
It just proves people need to get up off the couch and cast a ballot.
Every vote.
These days, you can even actually cast a ballot from your couch,
and that's
which is what's caused a lot of the trouble with this voting.
People who forgot to cast their ballots from their couch and ended up taking them out on election day.
Right, that's exactly right.
Or just asking for an early ballot and then never turning it in. And, you know, either way, you have to, your ballot has to be checked. whether it's an early ballot that gets turned in on election day or if you have to cast a provisional one. It's to make sure people don't end up voting twice.
Yeah, but I think the bigger issue during this election, and something that I still have not had fully explained to me yet, is that a lot of people filled out provisional ballots. We actually did a story on the day of the election on the range, the Tucson Weekly's Daily Dispatch, we call it, where someone went in had his card. He was in the right polling place, sure enough, but for whatever reason, his name was not on the list. He was told by the precinct worker that, you know, don't worry about it. Fill out a provisional ballot. It'll be counted today anyway, which is 100% not true. He actually went to the recorder's office, kind of raised the stink, and they said, no, you know, you please do a provisional ballot, but it won't be counted for a while, and that's what's going on. There is a lot of these ballots, and we don't know how many people, for whatever reason, because of a glitch we've heard rumors of, were left off. We still have not gotten to the bottom of why there are so many people like this who filled out these provisional ballots, both here and in Maricopa County. And I look forward to hearing why.
You know, I was in line Tuesday morning wondering why I was in line. I know everybody says they like the process of going out and voting, but I decided right then and there that I'm pretty much done with that. But I was in line for about 40 minutes, and I counted no fewer than 20 people who were in this situation that you just described, and I thought, this is an incredibly high number. I wonder why
something
this is going on.
Something weird happened. And
well, there was the consolidation of the polling stations, you know, taking many precincts and folding them in. They cut 30% of the polling places.
True.
Because so many people requested early ballots. You know, it's kind of we ended up catching it on both sides of that. So many people requested early ballots that they cut the number of polling places, and then a hell of a lot of people didn't turn in those early ballots.
Yep.
And then thus those people had to vote provisionally. When I went to vote at about 6:30 on Tuesday, I always wait till the last minute.
Slacker, kind of slacker.
Hey, I stood in line. There were about 10 or 12 people in front of me in line who had to cast a provisional ballot because it said early on the roster.
Yeah. Right. So I woke up. Let's talk about the presidential race a little bit. I woke up Wednesday morning thinking that we almost had been focusing on the wrong race all that time, because really Congress holds the cards and it remains divided. Has anything really changed from a week ago?
I think it has a little bit. I mean, a week ago at this time, you had a bunch of people claiming all these things about, you know, Nate Silver was wrong and Barack Obama was going to lose in a landslide, and Nate Silver ended up being, I believe, pretty much 50-for-50 on the states that he was doing. Nate Silver, by the way, a pollster for the New York Times who compiles all sorts of various polling data and comes up with an algorithm basically to indicate what percentages, what chances they've got. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Democrats may make some small gains in the House. They made some small gains in the Senate. Of course, they've got the presidency again. I think that, you know, I think some stuff has changed, but honestly, I don't know what it is yet. That's a terrible answer and almost embarrassing in how bad it is. But something has to have changed, because
right.
We know where the country stands,
right.
Whereas we didn't know for sure a week ago, and it stands pretty much where it stood 4 years ago.
And it almost is like this whole election stuff is now out of the way, and we can focus on some of the big issues, which you know, a lot of the pundits have been talking about today on talk radio. It's a terrifying day to be listening to the radio, frankly, with some of the stuff that's out there, but it's important to jump in. We talked about a little bit Peyton Kirkpatrick, some of the props, 204, the 1 cent sales tax. Surprised at how badly that went down?
I expected it to lose, but I didn't expect it to lose by the wide margin it did. I think the opponents of it did a very good job of spinning it. And there were some problems with the proposition. I mean, we at the Tucson Weekly, when we did our endorsements, we actually gave that several looks before we decided to kind of plug our nose and endorse it, because ultimately education undeniably in this state is underfunded right now.
Sure.
But there were some problems and some weirdness with the language. And I think the outside money and the inside money did a very good job of painting it. I think it was going to go down anyway, but the fact that it went down by such a wide margin was pretty stunning to me.
I was expecting something a good deal closer in
yes.
that race, especially given that the education sales tax that was previously in place passed overwhelmingly.
Yep.
You know, there was a landslide vote in favor of that, and to see that completely flip is, you know, I wasn't expecting that.
Well, Anneve Peterson, who was leading the proponents of 204, told me that if it didn't pass, 30 schools in Tucson, just in the Tucson Unified School District, would have to close in the fall. We'll see if that happens. Obviously, the governor has jumped in and said, okay, now we're going to get serious about education funding. I don't know why she didn't do this 6 months ago. But
I agree. Well, she actually put out a poisoned olive branch a while back where she said, you know, I'm willing to work with people and everything like that, but this is a bad idea. This needs to go down. And now she's pretty much reiterated that, although she's got some, you know, accountability stuff thrown in, although I've never heard how to properly make, you know, teachers and schools accountable. There's tests, but they don't necessarily work. There's all sorts of ways that people think you can do that, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I think Anne Eve was probably overstating that slightly, but the TUSD is facing some serious issues and some schools are going to close. No question about that. I actually think that would have happened even if it would have passed, but
right.
Some more may close. And frankly, in TUSD with the declining enrollment, some schools need to close right now. I hate to say it.
Right. And I come from Mesa several years ago where they were losing a lot of students and several schools have closed. It's just part of the ebb and flow, but we'll see if this going down actually will affect things. If you're just joining us, this is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, and I'm joined by Jimmy Bogle, editor of the Tucson Weekly, and Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. And Dylan, I got to tell you, I love your website. I think you might be the single most hardworking journalist in the Tucson area. You really do a good job
thank
on
you,
there.
Sir.
So I hope people check it out. Jimmy, you guys provided by far the most in-depth, intelligent reporting this election, which was confounding to me because as a, quote, alternative paper, you have a bent. My question to you is, how do you get people who might be more conservative to read your stuff, to trust you, because the stuff was so rich and so good, and we just weren't getting it anywhere else?
Well, it's undeniable that the Weekly has a liberal bent, but the fact of the matter is we don't try to deny that. We aren't like Fox News where we say we're fair and balanced. We are fair, definitely,
yeah.
That's for sure, and we try to be balanced, but we're not impartial. There's no such thing as objectivity in journalism, and I could rant about this for days and days, but I won't do that. But the fact of the matter is we tell the facts, and we really do tell the facts, and you know, we on occasion will put our two cents in on what we think about those facts, but ultimately we do present the facts. And this election season there was the thing that's really concerning is there are so many lies out there, and somehow we've gotten into our political process where people are unwilling to point out when people lied. When Jesse Kelly's line about the oil,
sure.
Allie Miller's lines about the stuff going on with the transportation department, and no one in her party was willing to point and say, Allie, come on, that's a lie. And we actually did that in a lot of cases.
A lie or a mistake, perhaps, to be generous.
Wrong.
Yeah,
wrong.
Not true, yes. Not factual.
And you know, of course, in the case of Allie Miller, when she challenged us to look into something, we looked into something, found out she was wrong, and then she stopped talking to us and said that we were a liberal rag. So go figure.
Okay, interesting. Okay, Dylan, you were telling us you were there yesterday at the sentencing of Mr. Loeffner. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the sentencing itself was a foregone conclusion.
Sure.
He pleaded guilty as part of a plea agreement back in August. So he was set to receive 7 life terms plus 140 years in prison. He's never going to get out of prison.
Right.
The purpose for of the sentencing hearing was to give the victims and their families, their survivors, a chance to speak, to address the court, to address us as a community, and very specifically to talk to Jared Loeffner directly. And a number of the people who spoke yesterday chose to do that, to direct their remarks to Jared. There were 10 victims who spoke, and a lot of the media attention went to Mark Kelly and Gabby Giffords, of course, standing up to Kelly addressing Jared Loeffner. But a number of the other people who spoke were just as powerful and just as angry, just as anguished, and you could feel the emotion in the room.
I'm just curious. I wasn't able to be there, and your piece, by the way, was fantastic.
Good. Thank you.
And,
yeah.
And I'm just curious, do you think this gave people some closure? I mean, you know, closure's what people always talk about it. You know, I wasn't there, and I don't know if it, you know, I probably would have been fine to be there. But do you think people actually got closure from this?
Well, like the judge said from the bench that I can't remember his exact quote. It's in my piece, but that closure is a 25-cent word that we throw out to make people feel better.
Right.
You know, that It's not closure so much as a resolution, an end point to say, you know, you don't have to deal with this directly anymore. You don't have to worry about testifying. You don't have to worry about a trial. This guy's locked up and we're throwing away the key.
And frankly, a lot of the people indicated that they, either the victims or their families, that they've already moved on. And we're just shy of 2 years of this, even though it seems like just yesterday. Mm-hmm. But it was encouraging to see how some of them really had already moved on. And I think that's important. A caller, by the way, I'm going to go quickly back to Prop 204, said that that's basically telling the state, we don't like that you're misspending our money, and we want to dictate how it's spent so you can't have it anymore.
And I think there's something true to that. And the fact of the matter is this was a permanent tax increase as opposed to the last one, which was 3 years. It had a sunset in it. And I think a lot of voters looked at that and said, I don't know if I want to be paying that extra cent per dollar forever and ever. That's right. Absolutely right.
Right. Yeah. It could have gone either way on that one. Very interesting arguments on both sides. Doug Ducey, the treasurer, obviously very, very happy. We're going to wind it up here. Bill Buckmaster wanted me to say happy birthday to Dylan Smith on the air.
Thank you to you and to Bill.
Okay. Who's off vacationing, not thinking of us. We will be right back with the Weekend Watch with Matt Russell.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Explore historic Silver City and its surroundings during this lovely time of year with warm days and crisp, cool nights. Enjoy great places to stay, including Casitas de Gila, Bear Mountain Lodge, and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. For more, log on to southwestnewmexico.org. Matt, you there?
I'm here, Dan. I mean, you are now, look, a legitimate media personality in Southern Arizona. Your brand is big and bold, Dan. Here.
Wow. Hey, lunch at Anthony's. What's going on this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. You know, we're always sniffing around for great business lunches in the Old Pueblo, and we were thrilled to learn that Anthony's in the Catalinas, of course, up on Skyline and Campbell, has started lunch service. They're calling it Cafe Anthony, and guests are going to be able to get that famous Anthony's experience that they've all come to know in a lunch environment and in a price point that everyone can afford. I mean, Dan, we're talking $8 lunches at Anthony's. So there's still time today to enjoy a beautiful Friday lunch at Anthony's. They're going to be serving up until 2:30, Monday through Friday, Anthony's for lunch.
$8. Can't beat it.
Telling you.
Okay. Kingfisher Oyster Fest.
Yeah, you know, at this time every year, Jim Murphy over there at Kingfisher brings the finest oysters he can get his hands on for his annual Oyster Festival. And the big day, Dan, is tomorrow, starting at 10 a.m. all the way up to 3 o'clock. A dozen different varieties of oysters from all over the country are going to be available. There's going to be a big tent in the Kingfisher parking lot. That's going to house all these professional shuckers who are going to be literally shucking thousands of oysters. And there's also baked oysters and fried oysters for those like me or that don't opt for the raw stuff like I do. But a great seafood menu also as well. Kingfisher for oysters tomorrow starting at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Now, be honest. Did you know that there were 12 types of oysters?
Well, you know, I'm a foodie, Dan.
So okay.
I got to tell you that there are actually more than a dozen, but if you leave it up to Jim to find the best of the lot, you're going to find them tomorrow at Kingfisher.
Okay, terrific. What the heck is a coffee crawl? And talk. Speak slowly. I'm from Green Valley.
Okay. Is this a two-hour show? We have a little bit of time. Well, hundreds of people are going to be crawling around Tucson tomorrow in search of the perfect cup of Joe when the first annual Tucson Coffee Crawl gets underway. Now, get this. Most of Tucson's best-known coffee houses are going to be featuring coffee tastings and cuppings and demonstrations and food samples, and you can kind of experience it all to find out who you think has Tucson's best cup of coffee, and you can map out your own crawl by going to TucsonCoffeeCrawl.com. And I can already now begin to smell the beans roasting. Now, you know, inquiring minds want to know, Dan Shear,
yes.
Are you a kind of a classic black coffee guy, or you prefer all the accoutrements?
I will take anything that is iced.
That's
the way.
Very nice.
That's
even
the way it is.
Even in these cold fall months here in Tucson.
Absolutely, no other way but iced. So, so you're skipping the most important event of the weekend, the Sarita Pecan Festival.
Oh yeah, we always love what those guys do down there. You know, as you know, Bill says, it's an hour long show. There's so much going on in this community for foodies. And if you want to know the wonders of the world of the pecan and try some wonderful pecan goodies and really get a sense of the history and the sense of place that Sarita is, I mean, really the epicenter of innovation, I think, when it comes to the pecan, this is a great event. I've taken my family down there before, and we always love going there.
9 to 5 tomorrow. Just get off I-19 at Sarita Road, and you will get there. Matt, thanks much. Appreciate
Thanks. It. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
Okay, you too. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available for your home or business. Coming up this afternoon from 4 to 5, it's the John C. Scott Show. Then Monday morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe from 6 to 8. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Bill Buckmaster, who will be back in the saddle on Monday, and our producer, Rosemary Brandt, I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.